This episode is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because CarMax believes you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car they sell has CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Start shopping now at CarMax.com.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus Brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking, because boring is steady, pragmatic, responsible. You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for red carpets, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life. PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865. Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Brian.
Rana.
Little bit of housekeeping here.
Little bit of housekeeping. Now, we want everyone to know that we recorded this episode with Mike Shore a few weeks ago, and it's one of my faves.
Absolutely. What a blast. I was so excited for everyone to hear it.
Yeah, we really hope you enjoy it. And also, for those of us who join us in the carriage house, we got a quiff switch.
A quiff switch. I love that. So cute.
We decided to pick two new movies that I think speak more to the times right now that we haven't seen, that, or I haven't seen one of them. And I think you haven't seen one of them, maybe. Am I right?
That's right.
Right.
We decided to meet the moment a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I picked 13th, which is on Netflix by Ava DuVernay.
Which you have not seen.
I have seen.
Oh, and I picked Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee.
Which I have not seen.
Oh, like you're in for, I don't want to call it a treat because that feels a little bit trite.
But I think.
You are in for something. It's a powerful and wonderful film.
And I keep hearing that movie is, you know, holds up and holds up and holds up.
Oh,
so I'm
absolutely.
So excited. So 13th and Do the Right Thing are the movies in Quiff this week if you're joining us in the carriage house. And please enjoy this fabulous interview with Mike Shore.
Kiss, kiss.
Rana here with one more quick note. We'll also be changing our Patreon Carriage House book club selection for June to James Baldwin's The Fire Next Time. We can't wait to discuss June 26th in the Carriage House. Patreon.com/AskRana.
Hi, Rana.
You always wait for me to say Rana. I mean, Brian.
I do. That's my cue.
And I thought, now I've given it away, I can never do it again. I wanted to wait and see how long I could possibly wait before you.
Rana, I'm nothing if not chivalrous.
You are a gentleman. That's true. You're very well mannered.
Thank you very much.
And you look like a gentleman today, wearing a collared shirt for me.
I'm wearing a collared shirt just for you, Ron. I feel like I've sort of been slumming lately, and I just want you to know that, you know, things are under control with me personally and professionally. regards the podcast.
Whenever anyone says something like that, I think it means things are completely out of control.
No. Things are fine.
I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
Things are absolutely fine. The lobsterman
broke. If anyone ever says, don't worry, I've got it under control, I think you're saying that. You're telling yourself that, and then you're saying out loud to make it true.
All I'm saying is, Rana, remember how I like didn't say hi to you when you came in the carriage house today?
Yeah, I did notice.
Just
but you know, sometimes you're the talent, Brian.
Me?
So, So I have to sort of handle you with kid gloves. I have to read your mood. So if you don't say hello to me, I have to say to myself, you know what? He's either just been keening or he's taking a breath. He will, when we start, the chivalry will kick in and he will be ready to go. But as a performer, you need your moment before.
That's true. And earlier, I was in the bathtub this morning after I had done.
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah. I had done a little bit of a workout online, a hit workout. So I was very sweaty. So I got in a hot bath, which I know sounds counterintuitive, but it felt great.
I was taking a bath.
Exactly. I filled the tub up a little too much. And sometimes I like to hold my breath under the water and swish my hair around. Do you know what I mean? So I can just feel like a mermaid.
I do, actually.
Yeah. So I was
still doing that, huh?
I'm still doing it.
How big is that bathtub? I can't even remember.
It's enormous. You know what?
You can fit all the way in that. I guess it's because it's a Japanese soaking tub.
It is.
That's probably why. Yeah.
It is a deep tub, and honestly,
it's a Japanese soaking tub.
So it is. Yeah. So
and when this is all over, you're going to take me to your favorite ryokan in Japan, and we're going to have a great trip.
I know. I know exactly.
When are we taking
a
bathing trip? We need to take a bathing trip.
We need to take a bathing trip. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Well, so anyway, the bath is a huge mess right now. It's a lot of, I used one of those, I ordered a bath bomb from Lush, like the really bright blue one.
No.
What?
No. No, no, no.
Well, so there's a ring around the tub that I can't get off it. Yeah.
No. All right.
Which part?
There were very few things I put my foot down about, and Lush is one of them.
This is one of them?
Lush is what I do not believe.
They don't test on animals.
I'm going to get upset. I don't care if they want to test on every animal that ever lived. Or zero. I'm not. There were very few things. It is the Trader Joe's of bath and body products. There's nothing I hate more. I really mean this, Brian. I'm really passionate about this.
Oh, God, don't come back here.
There is nothing I hate more than a purveyor of soap where they cut the soap like it's fudge.
Yeah, like bread, yeah.
Where they'll cut you off like fudge. A piece
that's better. Yes.
Of fudge.
Rocky Mountain.
Lavender fudge. Rose fudge.
And then they put it in one of those little bakery bags.
More disgusting to me.
Why is that?
I am the thought that you could mistake food. First of all, that you should treat soap like food is crazy. And I don't care if they think it's cute or it's not cute. And don't go to New Orleans because every other door, there's a store that wants to slice you off a piece of soap.
That's honestly
like a deli. I never shall the two meet.
So
cute. I don't want fruit in my salad either.
It's like when they make a, Rana, what are you talking about now?
I do not want fruit in my salad. A fruit salad, I don't mind, but I don't want a tangerine slice in my salad or a raspberry in my salad or a blueberry in my salad.
Well, you did not live in the late 80s, early 90s then.
Okay, Brian. Oh, I did it? You're goddamn right I did. And I was tortured. It was absolute torture.
Yeah.
I couldn't go anywhere. I had to go home if I wanted a salad because they didn't have tender greens and they didn't have this one and that one. They had super salad, but that wasn't for me because that was just a big, you know, salad without a shield. Sue Plantation closed. Did you read that?
I did. You know, I didn't grow up on that, but I did read that they closed.
No, I never went to a Sue Plantation.
I thought the name was hysterical. All cafeteria style is my, like, I'm not even kidding, were all my childhood favorites.
I feel sick.
Well, so there's a big rim around the, and it smells sort of like cotton candy.
Please stop discussing it.
Okay.
I'm serious. I'm getting very heated because the idea of it makes me sick. And the idea that you would bring that into my home.
Rana, it's soap.
And that now somebody has to clean, poor Yadvina has to smell that cheap soap.
I am starting to feel sorry for her. Yeah.
You stop.
What do you mean you feel sorry that she's just about, what cheap? That thing costs like $8.
You know what? Save the hysterics for somebody else. Truly.
Well, also, Rana.
And we had such a nice time the other night. And now this. You know what? I'm starting to see there's a pattern.
What are, Rana? Oh, I did
do something nice for you. And then you say, oh, she thinks she's in charge of doing nice things for me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to order a bath bomb from Lush. And then I'm just going to casually mention to her. You know I hate Lush. We've had this conversation.
I think, yes, I do remember something about it. Do you want to,
casually drop that I'm going to go up to the main house, to the patio, for a little drink, and then Rana thinks she's the one, I'm a charity case, and she invites me over for a drink. Well, I'm going to get a bath bomb. I'm starting to see how it works.
Do you want to do a strawberry shortcake facial with me later? I got one of those too.
Is it one of those foamy ones?
You have to, and Rana, you have to keep it in the fridge because it's like oatmeal. It's like those overnight oats. It's like that, but then more antioxidants. No.
Well, Rana, I'd rather put mayonnaise in my hair like Big Ed.
Think about
Big Ed and then think about the fact that he smells like mayonnaise.
It is too much to bear, Rana.
Mayonnaise.
It's too much to bear.
That's the only solution he could come up with. Mayonnaise. Also, he's living in 1982. I don't think anyone's put that mayonnaise in the hair since 1982.
So gross.
Ed. Boy, she told him.
She really did.
I can't
She's
wait.
The queen. She's the queen.
I can't Rana, wait to see what's
listen,
next.
All I want them. To say, sorry about that.
Yeah.
All I want to say is this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Lobster Man.
What does he want?
Oh, no, he asked if we could meet through the window again today. You know, we do those like prison signs, sexy with each other through the window. Anyway.
Yeah.
Rana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to thank you for a truly glamour. I felt like a movie star, Rana.
Yeah.
Rana had me to her patio, which is really the closest I've been in a while to the main house. Your pool was sparkling. I had a sea bass and a crispy rice. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah.
And these gorgeous roasted vegetables.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I don't know which drink to start with. The blood orange margarita or the bottle. I mean, I have chills thinking about it. I'm not even kidding. The bottle of Dom Perignon that you opened for me. I had never had it. I felt like I was 21 at the 21 Club.
You know what? When the good things happen in life, you have to celebrate them.
Oh my God, Rana.
Now even more so. None of this. What are we waiting for?
I guess so.
And you had mentioned that you had never had a bottle of Dom. And of course, I had either I bought it or someone bought it for me. Who knows how many bottles I have in there, but I'm just collecting dust.
Right.
And I thought to myself, we should celebrate Sauna Privileges.
Yeah.
Have been getting, so, first of all, let's talk about since February. This thing really started in March. Since February, we have been pushing so hard.
I know.
I mean, this job has doubled or tripled at least for us since February.
The research, the energy, the sort of design element that goes into
all of it. And we have so much more in the pipeline.
And plus connecting with all your connections and getting, I mean, it's really is unbelievable.
And we have.
You've done a beautiful job, Rana.
We.
Thank you. Thank you.
And people have been so positive about Sauna Privileges.
They really love it.
And it looks great and it's fun to watch. And I said, you know what? We have to celebrate life's victories. We do. So
and
we had a bottle of Dom.
I couldn't believe it.
And now a bath bomb went off like a soap terrorist in my carriage house.
Rana, I have to tell you, there's nothing more. I really wish you'd try it because there's nothing more exclusive feeling than having a blood orange margarita, a beautiful sea bass by the pool with a bottle of Dom Perignon, and then going in and taking a gorgeous,
soak.
Luscious, lush bath. It's true.
Well, I'm so glad you like the food. You know what? That rice cake.
Unbelievable.
Think about that spicy, crispy rice, spicy tuna they sell everywhere, they do the rice cake under it. And then I just thought, what if that was the rice? I mean, doesn't everybody love
a
crispy rice?
It was a crisp, creamy rice.
It was so easy to do.
Are you kidding?
And it was such a pleasure to do it.
Rana, it was gorgeous. You cut it in like a perfect-
Like a cake, yeah.
Like a cake.
Like a giant sushi rice.
Yeah. Yeah. But better, because it had the consistency almost of like polenta.
Yeah.
But the outside was crispy.
If people get lucky, I'll post the recipe.
Oh my God, Rana.
Probably not, because that's sort of my trick right now. That's my signature trick. You always have to have a couple of tricks up your sleeve.
The whole thing practically moved me to tears. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, you're so
And
sweet.
You let me keep the box. I got to take the box of Dom home, which was-
I should have let you keep the bottle. You could have made a candle out of it.
That's true.
Or something.
Do you like it when birthday cakes are made to look like a different food? Like a hamburger.
Hamburger cake.
Or like, yeah. Do you like that?
No, I can't believe we didn't talk about the nightmare that was the clown cake in Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. When the child has his birthday. I can't. This is the scariest clown cake I've ever seen.
And that was a cake from the late 60s if I've ever seen.
Horrifying.
One. Disgusting.
And we never
were
talked
about. Were people making cakes professionally then for birthday parties?
Well, you know what? Of course they were, but you know what? This is free feed. That's Patreon talk. We've got to get out of that. Okay.
All right. Let's get into
to our comments and our updates and let's get going here.
That's true.
So delighted you had a good time. And I would, and
it was
please,
a glamorous time.
Please come over for another glamorous night at the pool.
I'm going to sell you on these bath bombs.
But it was so funny because it's been freezing in Boston. But at first it was warm and then it was cold. And so I said, all right, what's going on? I said, I'm opening, you know, I keep the pool heated, of course, to 90 degrees.
It was steaming. It looked like we were in the jungle.
And that was really fun is that we had that smoky steaming.
Gorillas in the mist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fabulous. It did feel like Hollywood. It felt like old Hollywood.
Yeah, that was fun. And of this heat lamp, so we weren't cold.
No. Rana, we got such an email from someone who we had originally answered a question for about hair advice during quarantine.
Oh, of course. With Megan Rath, we did that.
Megan Rath. And Jack.
I miss Megan Rath. Wasn't she fun?
Oh, she was so great. So smart. So great.
I know. I hope
and
we'll
she's
have
not even the British one.
No, and I hope she'll come to visit us once quarantine's over. She'll come to Marblehead. She'll love Marblehead.
She'll love it here. She would.
And we can send Jack on the Freedom Trail tour while we all hang out and have a drink.
He'd love that to show them how they lost.
Yes, just to rub his face in it.
That's right. That's right. Well, Rana, I remember from this email, you made a lot of assumptions about what this kind of person was and what they looked like.
Brian, so, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Today, I decided to use my eye makeup palette that I've been using forever.
Yeah, you're doing a thing.
So remember I told you I had a new palette, a Tom Ford palette?
Yeah.
And then I decided to go back to my old palette today. I just felt like it.
Really?
And
okay.
I had never even really looked at it to see what it was called. But people had been asking, Rana, what's your makeup? Blah, blah, blah. So today I decided to flip it over and see what it was called. And you know what it was called?
What?
Mystic Eyes.
That's nice.
So I think what you're about to say is you think I'm a little bit of a clairvoyant.
I think you might be. Mystic River shot in the Boston area, right?
Mystic River is in the Boston area.
Okay. Yeah.
Very close to here, actually.
Ron and Brian, thank you so much for your Megan and Jack's advice. You guys made my day. I was so surprised when Rana guessed that I was goth with black hair at 16 years old. She was right about dyeing my hair to be different.
Of course I was. Yeah.
I was a theater kid and also dyed my hair red to stand out from the sea of brunettes. Rana's intuition and insight is incredible. It's certainly, Rana, sometimes I think you really make grand pronouncements that I'm like, that is so outrageous. What are you even thinking? And it's not only right, it's dead on right.
Look, some people can sing. This is what I do.
Sure. I was so glad to hear everyone saying that you can go gray anytime you want. Brian, you saying that you're never entertained by someone with gray hair did open my eyes. I got to think about my job. It's in Anaheim, not Vegas, and not disappoint those with high standards like yours. Listening to everyone talk about whether gray hair fits with my age and my career made me realize I'm a little too young at this moment. So after quarantine, I'm going to listen to Rana and go to a professional to get my hair colored closer to the brown color that is also coming in. But now during quarantine, I'm staying natural and keeping my gray. Thank you for the great advice. Kiss, kiss, Cat.
I have to be honest.
Yeah.
Her hair sounds like a mess.
Everyone's is right now except yours.
No, but doesn't that sound like a mess? Red and gray, and she wants it to go brown. I mean, come on.
It's a little bit.
I'm going to need a picture.
Yeah.
Kat, send us a picture because we need to know if we gave you the right advice.
It sounds like
she's
running.
We did not say anybody can go gray anytime they want.
No.
She's
running. Yeah.
If you're feeling it and you like the way it looks, you can go gray.
Absolutely.
But we did not say everybody has fabulous gray hair. We even, I believe, suggested that people, if they want to go gray and they don't have perfect gray hair, they get gray highlights.
They do.
Yeah.
It's not no maintenance going gray if you want it to look great. As Fran Lebowitz said, Rana, when Toni Morrison said to write your book and tell your story, she didn't mean you. That's what you're saying.
Moving on.
We also have a few reviews, Rana. Just Jeffrey 65 gave 5 stars and wrote, "Pinch me, I'm dreaming. Rana is the well-bred, well-traveled, well-informed, non-nonsense friend and confidant that everyone needs. Brian is the guy who has the skill to punch it up with a kind of silly but smart humor and fun that we all wish we could possess. It's as if someone cast the podcast with people from my daydreams. If I'm dreaming, never wake me up to a world without Rana and Brian."
Oh, isn't
very
that
sweet.
Nice? Yeah.
Would you like me to continue reading, or would you like to read one?
I love it when you read. Why, you want me to read one for fun?
If you want to, but I'm happy to do them.
I love it when you read them.
Justin gives us 5 stars and writes, "Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Y-A-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S.
Does Jordan say that?
I don't, does he say yes? I
maybe
don't know.
How
do you
friends.
Say, how do you say it? I've only ever
yes.
seen it.
Yes.
You know who says it? Cody Grigsby or Rigsby, my Peloton instructor.
Oh, sure. I believe that.
Who I'm crazy about. He's my new Peloton instructor. And I,
what happened to Ben, Rana?
Ben is still in the background.
Okay.
But Cody has a friend who DJs with him.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. It's honestly, it feels like being on the patio having cocktails in Provincetown.
How fun.
He dances the whole time. The DJ is his chubby little sidekick. And the DJ plays Britney Spears and dances the whole time. And they have such fun together.
Rana.
And I think you would love Cody.
When we're permitted, it would be insane for you and I not to have a residency in Provincetown.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'll be staying in Truro, though.
What does that mean?
It's one town over. It's the most beautiful town.
Is it cheaper?
No.
Well, I don't know if you get a better deal if you're not actually in Provincetown.
Oh, no. You certainly don't. Not in Truro. I mean, Truro is the end of the Cape before it becomes Provincetown. And it is absolutely stunningly gorgeous because it's where the Cape thins out.
Right.
It almost becomes like an isthmus.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Okay.
And it thins out. Mm-hmm. Well, an isthmus is really connected to another land source, so it couldn't quite be an isthmus.
Got it.
Think of an isthmus as like a big sandbar that you could build a bridge on.
Gotcha.
Big enough to build a bridge.
Like the Keys, although not exactly.
Yes, but the Keys, much like this, they
are
just
separated.
Extend in. Well, it's a peninsula, really.
Right.
When you stop to think about it. But the Keys are really an archipelago also. Anyway.
Right.
Archipelago. In any event, it's where the Cape gets skinny and hooks. And so the beaches are, and Wellfleet is there too, which is also gorgeous. And the beaches are so magnificent, but they're so, you often can't swim because there's an undertow because they're so rough. But there's nothing quite like being on the beach. That feeling that you look out onto the ocean and you know that the next spot of land is not for thousands of miles.
Sure.
And the sea has a real roughness and a real beauty in places like that.
Sounds so romantic.
Truro is really quite gorgeous. So I'll be in Truro and you'll be in Provincetown. And you can
I'll be in Truro. I mean, we'll see.
You can bring your crew over for a kiki.
That is fun. Because I have to say, the thing about Rana is she doesn't want to be mobbed by fans every day while she gets her coffee. But she won't mind if I curate a group of people to come over and have a laugh.
Right.
Exactly.
And I hope Cody Grigsby is one of them.
I do too.
I think you and Cody would be great friends.
Really?
He's wonderful. And he's a great shoulder mover.
I'm pretty good.
I know you are. That's why I think you'd like each other.
Oh, Rana, he does sound
fun. You know what? We're going to get Cody. We're going to get Cody on the podcast. Hey.
Great. Let's get him on the podcast.
I'm going to get, and you know what? Let's get Cody on the podcast. Maybe it'll be a Patreon, but let's get him on to talk about working out in quarantine.
That sounds great. Could he also in Provincetown be our warm-up person? Oh. But instead of a comic, he's like a speaker.
Absolutely. No question. He'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Perfect.
Okay.
Justin gives 5 stars. Yes, yes, yes. I'll never forget the day I found out Rana and Brian would be doing a podcast together. From throwing shade to ask Rana, I just can't get enough. Pure entertainment and joy. I'm a proud ship member and have thoroughly enjoyed Quiff and, of course, the books of the month. Thank you both for helping me to laugh and smile during such difficult times. Your discussion and advice are always a blessing. P.S. I'd love to hear an update on the missing towel from the carriage house.
Why do people do this?
I don't know. Shame on them, Rana.
We were having such a good time.
We really were. And
I'd like to hear an update on the towel
Bygones.
I'd like to hear an update on the towel from the carriage house. Because I know you can't order one towel from Frette because they only give you free shipping if you spend $150 or more. Yeah. But if you order one towel, they charge you about as much as a second towel.
Well, there's one called Fieldcrest that you can buy. And no, it looks exactly, Rana, it looks exactly
that
the
you
same.
Can buy. That
it
you
looks
can buy.
Exactly con- the
that
same.
That you can buy.
It's a beautiful towel from Target. It's one of their in-house brands. It's nicer than the Martha one. So anyway.
I can't, you know.
I shouldn't have told you because you never
would
have noticed.
I was having so much fun and now I'm exhausted.
But you'll never notice,
Rana. It happens so quickly.
We're going to do a taste test and you'll see which one you think it is.
Oh, I just got so disappointed that we weren't doing a residency in Provincetown this summer.
We can't this summer. But I feel
know,
like we
I got
absolutely
so sad
should.
About
How
it.
How fun would that be to just go for a month?
A blast.
And just.
We're going to do it.
We should do it. We got to do it.
We're going to do
it. I'm down
it.
For that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Finally, Emily in Vermont Why says. Did
I, but I'll be, I just remembered though, I'll be in the vineyard.
Well,
so we'll, I don't want to work. Well, then I can't rent a house in Truro if I'm going to be in the vineyard. It's
no,
a waste
Rana,
of money.
We're going to stay. But they have shares in Provincetown.
I
to
see.
Where what
so
you can
I'll
do.
Have to just come over for the day.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, so I'll come over from the vineyard just to do the show. All right. We're going to have to
Well, then how am I
going to
get?
No, you'll be in Provincetown, but we really won't be spending the summer together.
Rana, they have
I'll
shares.
I'll just come over for the shows.
They have shares in Provincetown that we don't necessarily know who the other roommates are, but if you were tired after the show, you could stay.
Well, this sounds like at least a fun TV show. Rana comes to Provincetown. Yeah, Rana and Brian come to Provincetown.
But Rana says
I mean, it's
Trudeau,
a good setup
Trudeau.
For a show. No, the show, setup for the show is that I agree to go to this share where who knows who's there.
Yep.
And every week, two new fun people are in the share.
And
every one
week
it's Cody from Peloton, and another week it's, you know, I don't know who. I was going to say Little
Varia.
Richard, but he's no longer with us. Yeah. Varia. And yeah, another week it's someone from Pillow Talk. And
exactly.
Another week it's Queer Eye.
Yep.
And another week it's, you know, a
and
basketball
every week
player.
It's what am I going to do to convince you to stay in Provincetown and not go back to Martha's Vineyard? That's the act two.
I can't wait.
All right. Finally, Emily in Vermont calls us a true joy. She gives us 5 stars and says, I found Rana through Brian and throwing shade and my life is better for it. There may not be a vaccine for the virus yet, but there is an antidote for the quarantine blues and it's these two. Kiss, kiss. So sweet.
Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you everyone for writing in and also just a nice reminder that you can always join the Carriage House and be an exclusive Carriage House member for $5.
Absolutely. Please join the Carriage House.
You can have sauna privileges for
$10. And you can have body parts for $10.
And you can have body parts for $10.
And we have so much fun stuff planned coming up. But don't
you get
forget.
An entirely new episode on Patreon every week. And you get to see us in sauna privileges. Do
it's
the
true.
Episode.
It's true.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
And we should tell people for who are signing up for the Patreon Carriage House this month for June. Every Sauna Privileges membership, $2 from our Sauna Privileges tier, every membership is going to the Trevor Project.
One of the top of the line LGBTQ charity. And I say that because you know where every dollar is going. They're the most highly rated on Charity Navigator. And they are a wonderful organization for LGBTQ youth who are depressed, suicidal, etc. It's wonderful.
I know. I mean, how many times can we tell these people?
It's true.
I guess we'll just keep telling them.
I guess we will. Now, Rana, with this guest today, I mean, this is like having Louis be mayor here.
More or less. I mean, isn't it funny? We had Scott Aukerman on. We told him he was a mogul.
Then this is
And
Daryl
then we've got
Zanuck,
this mogul.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, you know.
Shirley Temple.
This has become the mogul podcast.
It certainly
has. Becoming.
I don't know how you get these people.
I ask.
Okay.
What are you doing? What are they going to say? No.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Old friends.
Okay.
All right. Without further ado, I think we should bring on our guest.
Let's do it, Rana.
Attention Carriage House members. Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Brian.
Rana, it's Pride Month.
It's June, and you know what that means.
What a way to kick off the summer. It is Pride Month, and I have to tell you, we're included.
We're not going to let them hold us down. Just because they say there's a quarantine, just because they say there's a pandemic, we're not celebrating Pride here at Ask Rana in the Carriage House.
That's right. It's a clothing optional pool party at Rana Glickman's house. Please come over as fast as you can.
Actually, clothing's not optional because if you're going to show up here, there's
you
only
better show
one
up in
thing
a Pride
to
t-shirt.
Wear.
Correct.
Currently just released. This is now out at podswag.com/AskRana. It is Brian's Pride Icons Tee.
This is all my TV icons when I was growing up that I wanted in my life. It is Devereaux and Cherish and Pope and Glickman and Brian.
And Brian.
And Brian.
Available now. It's so cute. It's the Helvetica tee with a little bit of a rainbow dash thrown in at the end.
That's right.
And we should tell people who are signing up for the Patreon Carriage House this month for June. Every Sauna Privileges membership, $2 from our Sauna Privileges tier, every membership is going to the Trevor Project.
One of the top of the line LGBTQ charity. And I say that because you know where every dollar is going. They're the most highly rated on Charity Navigator. And they are a wonderful organization for LGBTQ youth who are depressed, suicidal, et cetera. It's wonderful.
They're doing amazing work. We're delighted to donate to them.
Yep.
And go get your tees. We'll see you at the not clothing optional pool party.
Correct.
Not at my house.
No.
Not with a giant group of people.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happy Pride. Now, wait a minute.
Hold on just 5 seconds, Rana. This is outrageous this time. You have outdone yourself.
You know what's hysterical about this?
Tell me.
This is Hollywood meets Boston meets Hollywood again. So all the worlds are colliding right now.
But it's two worlds.
It's there and back again.
I see.
And our guest today is someone I knew before he was a mogul.
You're kidding.
Okay. And then he became a mogul and then we reconnected and then you're out in Hollywood, of course. So I'm sure you two know each other. I mean, that's no surprise.
You know, we haven't met. I've definitely banged on that door and I've approached him at several parties with, I don't know. I did a tap dance routine for him one time I thought was funny. But anyway, we've never officially met.
So he may have noticed
you. I did a cartwheel.
You.
Yeah, he's definitely noticed me. Definitely noticed me. Yeah, I've made myself known.
This guy, I mean, it's
Come
so funny.
On.
Wait
it's,
a minute.
Yeah.
We should say his name, I suppose, so people know who we're talking about. But
Mike. Sure.
Yeah. Maybe you've heard of Parks and Rec.
Yeah. Maybe you've heard
maybe
of Brooklyn
Nine-Nine. Maybe not. Maybe you haven't. Maybe sure. Maybe you've heard of The Office.
Maybe you've heard of The Good Place.
Oh, come on. No one's heard of that.
Okay.
Are you kidding? And I want to know what he's doing because right before that, we're going to get into it, but right before this quarantine happened, he decided he was going to wrap everything up. And now
well,
here we are
he?
All wrapped up at home. Everyone's wrapped up. This guy, Michael, how are you?
I'm great. How are you, Rana?
I'm so delighted.
Is it Michael?
You could.
It doesn't matter. Either
oh,
one.
Okay.
It's Michael officially.
Okay.
But I mean, let's put it this way. When the Harvard Bartending Service sent him to my party, I don't know how long ago, 23 years ago, he said, "Nice to meet you, Mrs. Glickman. I'm Michael Shore." They said, "We're sending Michael Shore over."
Okay.
In Hollywood, he's known as Mike Shore.
Sure. It's more casual there.
So when he's presenting himself formally, he said, "Mrs. Glickman, nice to meet you, Michael Shore."
So let's just remember this. This was 1995.
Yeah.
Right.
You tell me. I don't remember. I was doing the drinking. You were doing the serving.
That's right. I was an undergrad and you were back because your husband had a reunion event.
My husband is an alumnus, of course, just like you have at Harvard Medical School. I know you're not a doctor, but he was. And so what we used to do is we'd have these fabulous parties at our house. And what everyone would do is they'd call it the Harvard. And people think I'm joking. Harvard has a bartending school. Excuse me. So they send over a student bartender. And in this case, they sent over this Mike Shaw, who was very clean cut, very well behaved, as far as I know.
It was very polite.
If you think I thought you had a future, you're wrong.
Wow.
Now, why is that? I thought I did a good job.
Because you were fun, but you weren't funny.
Okay. I was just trying to be professional. It was a big deal for me. It was my summer job that year, and you were having a fundraiser for
Congressman Bonnie Frank, right. Fabulous Bonnie Frank. Which there's another connection there, Brian.
Because I'm gay, Rana.
Because you're young and handsome, and that's the sort of guy that Bonnie would bring around.
Okay. I was told, like, this is a big deal. These are like fancy
big donors.
Yeah. And so I put on my little crimson bartending vest, and I had a little name tag.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to do a good job, and I didn't recognize any of the people there except for Congressman Frank, but it definitely felt like there was a lot of
In Red Auerbach.
Social capital. Red Auerbach, that's true, was there. And that's right. And then I really tried to keep my head down and just serve.
Yeah.
I remember serving Bob a lot of Bloody Marys.
That sounds right. Well, you know, you play tennis, you're exhausted. And then, because we did this, I think this was like a Sunday 2 o'clock situation. So we also did bagels and, you know, and so mimosas. It was a lot of mimosas and a lot of Bloody Marys. But, you know, Bob would enjoy a Bloody Mary. He'd finish tennis, he'd have a screwdriver on the court.
Wow.
And then he would drive, you know. Then he'd just go to the clubhouse.
Then he would drive, Rana?
First Bloody Mary. Then he'd come home. I'd make him a Bloody Mary.
Sure.
The first one was really just tomato juice and vodka. The second one was spicy. I mean, you don't want to shock the stomach that quickly.
Right.
And then he'd probably have a piece of toast. Yeah. And then I make him a gin and tonic.
But that was a Sunday.
Yeah.
I feel like
what
I remember mostly is everyone drank a lot for like 3 hours and then everyone just got in their cars and drove home. Like there was
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, everyone always says Jewish people don't drink, but that's not true in Boston. That's only true in other places. Yeah.
Sure. Did you find Bob funny at all or did have much of a personality? Do you remember?
He mostly was just, the only thing he said to me the entire afternoon was another. That's all, just another.
Like, yeah, he was an intimidating presence.
He really was.
Well, he was all talked out. I mean, he had to do the talking, he was trying to fundraise for Bonnie. So he had to he was the kind of guy that would just put his glass on the counter and probably not say much.
Well, that's not very nice.
Okay. Should we get to our show, please?
Yes.
We're not here to talk about Bob.
Mike,
we're here to do advice.
A bunch of listener questions that we need your help on.
Great.
So we're going to read them, and then we'll all just give sort of our advice on how we think this person should handle
it. Yeah, just give your honest take.
You got it.
Brian, you should start for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go. Question number one. Dear Rana, Brian, an exclusive guest. Mm. That's you, Mike.
Thanks.
You may remember me as the guy who rated 5 stars and commented on you both as a recipe. Take 1 cup Rana Glickman, 1 cup Brian Safi, mix lightly. Flavors will complement but still stand on their own. Add 1/2 cup of wit, 1/2 cup of insightful advice, a dash of high-end delights, and a pinch of a secret ingredient every week, and you get one of the best internet desserts you've ever had. Yum. Mike, if you want their resume for a writing job, I really think that we could pass it along to you. If you ever do like a cooking show mystery or, you know, something like that.
Sure.
Here's the sitch.
A cooking show mystery.
You remember that novelist who writes mystery books but also puts recipes in the book?
No, it sounds like Nora Ephron, but I'm interested.
Oh, it's not Nora Ephron.
No.
It's someone.
Well, Hatburn has all the recipes.
Hatburn does, but this is like, no, this is someone who always gets killed while they're cooking.
And
a series. Anyway. You should adapt them, Mike, is my suggestion.
Right.
Okay.
Add it to the list.
In a 10-year relationship with a boyfriend, we had 2 dogs. A neighbor couldn't stand it anymore and told me I was being cheated on every time with different people when I went out of town. I travel a lot for work. We broke up, obviously, and I kept the dogs. Sorry, Brian. I could never share with that asshole. And side note, he got another puppy exactly the same as our purebred. I had to keep working, so I enlisted the help of a close friend to stay in my home and take care of my dogs. They were paid, they meaning the friend and their boyfriend. I came home from a month-long trip to find, in all caps, all the wine I'd brought back from around the world had been drunk. 18 bottles. Italy, Sweden, South Africa, Greece, Spain, Australia, New Zealand, gone. I'd collected these bottles for over 10 years. They said the wine was there and thought they could drink it. I don't drink, the friend knows this, but I collected these bottles as souvenirs. They looked great on the display I created, similar to the style of the bar at the Belmont El Encanto Hotel. Rana once mentioned this place, and I knew I had to go. It did not disappoint. Thank you very much for that. Now, here's the thing. I explained this frustrating situation to my mother, sister, and brother, and friends who all drink. They said if the wine was there, it's okay for guests to drink it. I'm absolutely gobsmacked at these responses, but it seems this is not uncommon. Am I insane? Is this not the height of disrespect to my property and curation for these wine souvenirs? I eagerly await your reply. Aman. Not his real name, but he didn't want to use the name Jordan. So is Jordan his name?
No, but Aman Jordan.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes,
it's the capital.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Wow. That really took some turns. I'm not sure why we needed the backstory.
We had a lot of backstory.
Oh, if you don't like backstory, you're on the wrong podcast.
There was a lot that had nothing to do with the neighbors or the friends drinking the wine.
Our guests like to think that, our listeners rather, like to think that they're in dialogue with us. So they always sort of wind up as, listen to this story. Mm. And then at the end, the question is always, should I tell her? But it's 14 paragraphs about this detail and that detail and why you need it all. But in any event, what do you think?
Well, I got to say, I sympathize. I think this is uncool. If there was no discussion about what the rules of the house were, and I were the guest and I saw a bottle of wine, I think I would at least reach out, right? We live in a very connected world. You can text or email and say like, hey, is it cool if I drink this bottle of wine? I don't think I would drink one bottle before doing that, much less 18. I do think this is like that seems very crazy to me to just sort of like assume that you can drink all of the wine in the house. That's bananas. I think that this is a tremendous disrespect. And I think I'm with Aman. I would not have done this if I were a guest in Aman's house.
Brian,
do we know the time period here? I mean, how long does it, how long
it was 4 days. It was 4 days. They drank 18 bottles of wine in 4 days.
Is that right?
No, I'm kidding.
I believe it. It was probably over a week. I also think they might have taken a few with them. I mean, 18 bottles.
18 empty bottles.
That's a lot of. Oh, 18 empty bottles. That's a lot of wine.
I think they were still there. Mike, I completely agree with you. I think that's outrageous. And I do think that, listen, there's a difference between a couple of cans of beer in the fridge and 18 bottles of wine.
It was also a display.
Exactly.
He had some sort of a display.
I do think there is a situation where, if you're inviting someone to stay for a week, they probably will go in your fridge and you should just have the expectation that they might snack around or something. Who cares? Or pop off a bottle of beer from a six pack, whatever. But 18 bottles of wine is so crazy. And that exactly that they were displayed. Do you still think he can display them or do you think it's done?
No, that's done. Empty bottles of wine aren't display items. They're garbage. You put those in the garbage.
And it looks like you got a problem.
I'll say this too. Like
making candles and opening a cafe?
Oh, there you go. That's the answer. But I think
cafe.
If you went into someone's like wine fridge or whatever, and you saw like 24 identical bottles of like of $10 wine or whatever, you'd go like, oh, they just bought a case of this wine. I'm sure it's cool if I drink some of this. And if I do, whatever, I'll just go to the, and they're upset, I'll go to the grocery store and buy them another case of wine. But 18 individual bottles of wine indicates a collection. It doesn't indicate this is for consumption. So that's a huge mistake.
Well, this happened to me once that someone came into my house who shall remain nameless, my nephew. And I said, of course, when somebody stays in my house, I stock the fridge for them. And I pay them, depending on how long I'm going to be gone, or whatever the arrangement is. But you really shouldn't have to tell somebody not to reach to the top shelf of your wine cabinet, where clearly something is being kept for use at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about a $280 bottle of wine that someone had actually given to me and that I was waiting to drink. I mean, in the end, the truth is I didn't really like the person who gave me the wine. And I sort of, from a comic perspective, wasn't sorry that I didn't drink what was probably poison to begin with. It was for my brother-in-law. But I was actually depressed for 3 days afterwards. And I know that sounds so silly, but when you're keeping something, you're keeping something special that you want to enjoy at some point, it feels like a real violation for somebody to have just gone, rummaged through your things and decided to take it without asking permission.
Yeah.
It's a bad feeling.
It's a violation. It's the correct word is violation. Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Aman was looking for a specific remedy yet.
No, he just wanted to be heard and understood.
Yeah. Because I don't even know. I guess, your options are either you say something to them, which is fine and really even shouldn't be awkward, or you just, you know.
If she's and this person's a good friend. Yeah. Well, not anymore. I mean, I don't think they'll be hired again. Let's put it that way, to do the house sitting. But Aman, I will say you're not crazy to want to mourn this a little bit, but you got to move on. That's the other thing. It is sad. It's a collection of memories. On the other hand, all that gorgeous wine, he was never going to drink it.
It was probably all fake. Yeah. That's how they do.
Okay. Dear Ronna Ann Bryan, as though my name is Ronna Ann. It says Ronna Ann. Ronna A-N-N Bryan. Ronna Ann. Everyone knows my name is Ronna Marlene, and I hate my middle name more than
anyone
even
think
could,
possibly, bring it up.
Could possibly understand. Okay. I think this might be a twofold question, and I'm sorry. I've been living with a roommate for 4 years now. We get along great for the most part and do almost everything together. Vacations, family dinners, holidays, you name it. Most people assumed we were lesbians, but I see her as the sister I never had. I think that's very interesting already because it sort of implies that maybe she's gay for me, but I'm not gay for her. But people can think
wishful
what they want
thinking.
To think. Yeah. Well, you know, I know I'm not gay, but she might be a little gay because I'm a little bit of a catch. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Recently, however, I've started dating her brother. She is not, in all caps, handling it well. Well, here we go. The day she found out, she got really drunk and went to his house and cried over how she feels left out and thinks we are dating just because it's, quote, convenient. Yes, he lives down the street. and that he has ruined everything that me and her had going. She also told him that I am bipolar, parentheses, I'm medicated and in therapy, and probably in a manic phase. Things have since been awkward, and she told me she is moving out to go back to school to get another degree, another parenthetical, an English in all caps degrees. She's 32. Yes, I'm judging. I don't even know how it happened, but we have seen each other for maybe 3 months now. And yes, during quarantine.
I don't even know how it happened.
I don't even know how it happened. Okay. He lives down the street and there's a pandemic, but I don't even know how it happened. Yeah. And I have no agency over my body or my decisions. Yeah.
I woke up like this.
Yeah. I keep waking up in his bed and it's Groundhog Day every day. Yeah. But my roommate and I watch his 12-year-old son. So we are already in frequent contact no matter what. Also, we live in a pretty small town with no cases. Please don't yell at me, but I also get it if you do. Okay. Am I a terrible friend or just an all-around awful human? I love when people do that. They catastrophize so that you can say you're not an awful human.
Right.
You just, no, you're fine. Well, maybe you are. We're going to get to it.
Right.
Am I a terrible friend or just an all-around awful human? Did I ruin everything? How can I make things okay between my housemate and I? Her and I haven't really sat down and talked about anything yet. She only had the conversation with him. Part two. He's 37 and I'm 27.
Oh, boy.
He's the first guy I've gone on more than three dates with in the past 6 years. What are these dates? Where do they go? From the kitchen to the living room?
They walked down the block.
They took the empty wine bottles from the other guy's trash. They made candles out of them. And they're having Ratatouille in the backyard or Lady
they
in the Tramp.
They drive from one house to the other every day.
They're having Lady and the Tramp in the backyard. Okay. Yeah. I almost walked out. Oh, okay. With past 6 years. I'm a raging liberal and he's a gun-obsessed Republican. I almost walked out again from the living room to the kitchen when I found a Rush Limbaugh book at his house. I disagree with most of his opinions, but he makes me laugh a lot and my family likes
it. And it's worth losing a friend, so.
The sex is the best I've ever had, and I look forward to going out on actual dates with him again when this crisis is over. Can two people with such different viewpoints on everything even work out? Am I only dating him for convenience and attention during quarantine? I really value both of your opinions and appreciate you taking the time to dissect this shit show. XXM.
By the way, she said at the end, is it worth dating someone with completely different viewpoints as if that were romantic? She doesn't care about that. She it was like the last sentence in her email. I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
Well, it's not just a two-part, it's like a 40-part question.
It's the first 10 minutes of Up. We got it all.
We're all going to be in tears and wanting it all to be over after 10 minutes. And then we're going to have to watch, and then we're going to have to live through the 1,000 tiny cuts of it after all of that. Oh,
absolutely.
I can't believe you. I got so heartbroken when you brought Up.
I'm sorry.
I knew it's just such, it's so good, but it's so heartbreaking.
It is really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So this feels like, let's deal with part one first.
Okay.
Yeah. So part one, if I have it correct, is she has this very close friend who maybe is a little gay for her.
Yeah.
And she starts dating her friend's brother who lives down the street. So let's just deal with that first and then we'll shift into politics.
Okay. But even if she's not gay for her, I think we should acknowledge that they're in an intimate relationship.
It's a very tight relationship. Yeah.
To be fair to both parties, they have been doing everything together and it is romance or no romance. It is a loss and a bit of a betrayal for the sister.
100%. So this is the problem, right? The problem is like most things in life, this person just bailed on a tough conversation. That's what happened, right? She developed some romantic feelings for her very close friend's brother and thought maybe, and there was a moment in there somewhere where it was like, oh boy, this might happen. And I know this is going to be a thing for my very close friend who I've spent so much time with. And instead of confronting it and saying, hey, I think I might want to hook up with your brother or go out with your brother or something, she just bailed. And that always... that it's understandable because it's so hard to imagine sitting down and having that kind of grown-up adult conversation with someone. But when you don't, you just always get into these situations where this thing happens and then your friend finds out and they feel betrayed. And it's a whole, like she said, it's a shit show, right? So that, to me, like the mistake was made a long time ago. The mistake was made at the moment at that fork in the road where the adult mature thing to do was to go to your friend who you love and care about and have spent so much time with and say like, look, this is awkward, but how do you feel about this? Because you're pretty sure that your friend is going to go like, this makes me feel weird and you don't want to hurt your friend. But the end result is always you end up hurting your friend more.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, that's
that is the original sin.
Yes. The original sin was just you took the easy way out and you dodged a tough conversation. And as a result, you caused more harm ultimately to your friend than you would have if you had had that tough conversation.
It's like being married for years and then just walking out the door without an explanation. It's really, she broke her friend's heart and really did wrong by her, I think.
Brian, are you falling deeply in love with Mike right now?
Of course.
Through this explanation.
Yeah,
that is such a mature and insightful and accurate thing to say.
You know what I think about?
And such a common problem in every relationship.
That's the thing, right? There are hundreds and hundreds of movies and TV shows where characters start doing this exact thing. And you, as a viewer, I hate them because I'm just, you live with that pit in your stomach, knowing that at some point the other person, is the third party, is going to find out, and they're going to be so wounded and they're going to feel so betrayed. And so even if it's done with good intentions or with out of a sense of like, you know, or whether it's like you just are so deeply in love with this person and you can't take it and you just are magnetically drawn to each other. I, as a viewer, yes. I'm always like, oh no, we're close to that moment where the other person finds out.
And also, yes. I don't know how magnetically, I think what she is, I think what she's drawn to is the fact that this was risky to begin with. I think she thought that was romantic in her head, or that, oh my God, we have the secret thing and my best friend doesn't know about it. And also he has completely different viewpoints than I do. And also he has a gun. Oh, this is so wacky. What is my life? And it was all pretty selfish, because I think it all was sort of a fantasy for her.
Yeah. I think you can also reduce it. I think you can reduce most of people's behavior to what I want, what I could do and what I should do, and what I want. I just want it.
You know what else?
Can't I just have it because I want it?
Yeah.
And the answer is, you can do anything you want to do. But if you want to keep people in your life that you care about, that have invested in you, or that you have invested in, if that's important to you, then you can't just take everything you want without addressing it.
And you know what the key to this whole thing is for part one? The most important fact and detail, 27. That's the most important part of it.
Saturn returns. Don't get me started on that.
When you're 27, yeah. Whether or not it's astrologically influenced,
yeah.
You do a lot of stupid shit like this. Yeah. Like that is the absolute essence of being 27 years old.
It is the year of terrible decisions.
You're at the end of the period of time where you feel like a kid.
Yeah.
Right. And you're like, you still feel like a kid. You still feel like your actions have no consequences. You still feel like nothing you do really matters, that the whatever wound is caused will heal without any repercussions. And between 27 and 30,
yeah.
You start to realize that
you're not going to live forever.
Exactly. And you can't do stuff like that anymore because the wounds are real and the scar tissue is eternal. So to me, the absolute most important detail is she's 27. And by the way, it's also important that the guy is 37.
Yeah.
Because when you're
with a 12-year-old.
With a 12-year-old just chasing youth, man. Just let's get an injection of youth into my 37-year-old body so I still feel young.
Yeah, or I'll inject myself into the youth in this case.
So,
also what about what he's doing to his sister?
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Oh, he couldn't give a shit.
We could get this question from any of these directions. We could get the heartbroken roommate.
Oh, the Rashomon. We could.
This is, I mean, absolutely everybody has a case to make here.
By the way, but, not cool that she, I mean, her brother probably knows that she's bipolar, the sister, but not cool that she goes to the brother after she fucks over her friend and immediately starts talking shit. A. B, I don't mean to sound like a total downer. Even if you become friends with your friend again, it will never be the same. You've ruined
it. Yes. Yeah. That friendship, by the way, this isn't her friend. This is her roommate. She lives with this
Pardon
girl.
Me, her roommate. Right.
But this, whatever that honeymoon period was where you two were essentially dating, but not sleeping together, yeah. Where you were going to every family
It'll
event
never
together.
Be like that again.
But all that's over. Yeah. And you can spend the next 20 years if you want. Having those conversations with everyone in your life where you say, oh, but I used to be so close to Karen and you know, remember when we were best friends, you know, you can spend the next 20 years litigating that relationship. But I think Mike is right. The original sin was you saw something you wanted. You decided to take it instead of saying, can I talk to you about something? But yeah. I think also Brian's point is magnificent, which is, she was never going to have that conversation because she wanted the thrill of this guy who seemingly is her polar opposite is coming after her and can't resist her in her liberal, you know, honey trap.
Well, so that sends us into part two of the question, yeah. Which is like, is it
because
possible?
If she said to her, or the other one, I think I'm having signed to develop feelings for your brother. All of the magic of, oops, we had sex with his gun on the counter goes away. Well, his 12-year-old was playing Minecraft or whatever.
Yeah, it's less thrilling, right? Having the conversation takes 40% of the secretive, self-destructive thrill out of what you're doing.
Because as soon as you say it out loud, you also know it's, well, you just know what's wrong. Or somebody asks you two questions and they say, oh, so I guess I'm confused. I know you're a big Hillary. You could, do you wear your Hillary t-shirt to bed? You know, and then you sort of like, well, I guess this isn't going to work.
You know, part two is can a 27-year-old progressive liberal date a 37-year-old MAGA hat wearing, gun toting conservative who reads Rush Limbaugh? Of course, the answer is yes. Of course, you can. Like, it's not impossible. Those relationships exist. Kellyanne Conway and George Conway are married somehow.
I need to know so much more about that.
Does
anyone know anything about how that works?
I imagine, honestly, no one wants to picture it.
Yeah.
But there's one way that works, and it works well.
You think it's just that they have this spec?
I think they get home, have a few drinks, punch each other out, and then have sex like crazy all night. And I think they love it.
And then as soon as that stops, they'll get divorced.
Yeah, but I don't think it's ever going to stop.
Yeah.
Why do you think she always looks so nuts? She's just been in the sack. She's just been in a brawl and in the sack with
it. It's like Brad Pitt and Helena Bonham Carter in Fight Club. It's just like this crazy, voracious.
They come home every night with different personalities, different names, they're just constantly.
It's that praying mantis eating that murder hornet's face. Well, it just has. Did you see that? The praying mantis's arms are long enough to hold the murder hornet at bay.
That's terrific.
And strong enough. Yeah. So there is a video of a praying mantis holding a murder hornet just a half an inch away from its face and then taking its neck and then just coming down. And the way that it chooses to eat this creature, and the murder hornet's stinger is sticking up, trying vigorously to murder this praying mantis. And the praying mantis is like eating a tuna sandwich in a diner on a Tuesday after a doctor's appointment when they know they don't have to be home for 3 hours. Just sitting there
staring out the window
at Tom's Diner, having a bite of this tuna sandwich, thinking about that. Maybe I'll read a New Yorker article. Maybe I'll get I'll have another. You know what? Just top off the coffee, but I don't want a full cup. I mean, that the praying mantis is the calmest, and it eats it from the eyes first.
Yeah.
So and for some reason, there's no blood. Insects have no blood or whatever. They just have insides. But one eye, then another eye. I mean, and the murder hornet is just, it's amazing. Yeah.
And just to be clear, you're saying that's how Kellyanne Conway and George Conway have sex with each other.
Definitely.
If they're lucky. So your answer is, you can continue this relationship. But
what I was going to say, the dot, dot, dot is like, of course it's possible that this is real and that it works out and all that sort of stuff. I don't necessarily think that's really the question that you're asking, because it seems like a huge part of the attraction here was how wrong it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's so wrong. It's wrong because it's your roommate's brother, and it's wrong because he doesn't share your political worldview, and that there's something about, and again, this is peak 27, man. This is exactly what 27 is all about.
You're 27. Stop. Take a breath. Go take some kind of a quarantine walk by yourself without the 12-year-old and the friend and the him and the this and the that. And you can put this away, and you can do this when you feel like doing it, but you need to have a conversation with yourself and say, what kind of person do I want to be?
Because this adrenaline's about to run out on this relationship.
That is what 27 is about. Who do I really want to be? I live in this small town. My guess, by the way, I hate to say this about the liberal, and she can tell me I'm wrong, but part of her identity and her liberal politics and all of that is a reaction against her family and against where she lives. She lives in this small town, and her family thinks he's terrific because he has all these conservative ideals, and she's different than all of these people. You know,
the way we were.
She's been doing, I'm different, I'm different, I'm different for 27 years. And now she's sort of deciding whether she really cares. I mean, some people are only into politics because it gives them something, a way to play out their power dynamics in their life. And there are some people that really care. And I'm not sure she cares that much. I think she has to decide if she cares about what she wants this world to be like and what she wants her life to be like and how she wants to treat people in her life and what level of self-respect she's interested in, or whether she's just going to react to what people give her all the time.
And also, it really has nothing to do with the fact that someone wants to get an English major. There really is nothing to do with it.
Oh, another degree. Yeah, that, yeah. That was a weird detail.
That doesn't. Well, I think you were trying to win us over by calling her crazy.
No, she's not. We're just saying she's not perfect, you know. She's a light Korea student. That's exactly what she was saying.
Sounds great.
Oh, all right.
Dear Ronna and Brian and Mike, first, I love everything about you, your wit, your charm, your incisive advice. Did I say that right? Yeah. You are absolute treasures. Now to my problem. I've been with my partner for 8 years. We have a strong relationship that is enviable amongst our friends. He's supportive and kind and brings out the best in me in more ways than I can count. He cooks gourmet meals nearly every night. He brings me coffee in bed nearly every morning. I'm treated like a queen, and not a day goes by that I lose sight of how very lucky I am. Side note. I came from an abusive household and never had good relationship models in my life. So to be loved and supported in true partnership is something that I have never thought I'd have, and I really try hard not to take it for granted. Which is why I feel like a crazy person for having this issue. Every time we sit down for a meal that he has lovingly cooked, I feel like I want to gouge my eardrums with a Q-tip. You see, I have misophonia, and I cannot stand the way my partner eats. He slurps his food and chews with his mouth slightly open. I seriously do not understand how someone can chew so loudly and so aggressively. It's like he's cosplaying some old Clint Eastwood cowboy flick or something. As I'm writing this, he's sitting 20 feet away, eating a plate of eggs. And the chewing sounds, slurps, mouth smacks. For eggs? I really don't understand it. And God forbid he eat a bowl of cereal or chips. I literally have to leave the room. I didn't say anything for the first 7 years of our relationship. Because, well, the good far outweighs this particular mismatch. And I didn't want to come off as nagging or difficult. It's not like his chewing is abnormal. So why should I make him feel self-conscious about something that really is my problem? But when my misophonia is really bad, I do find myself going into a panic wormhole thinking, how am I going to put up with this for 35 years? Once the dinner is over, it's back to normal. A few months ago, I finally decided to speak up. He took it in stride, but he still chews the same way. So I don't know what to do in this case. Should I just continue to harbor these feelings in silence every mealtime? Is it reasonable to ask him to learn how to chew more quietly? Please help. Signed, Misophoniac. P.S. This one is for Brian. Brian, I made the mistake of giving my partner a really good blowjob when we first started dating. Who knew BJs were so hard to come by? Since then, we've never really had sex without him asking for one. That shit is hard work, and sometimes I just want lazy sex. Is it too late to pull back on the BJs? How would you broach that combo? Anyway, hugs and kisses, and thank you for your service. You are a breath of fresh air in these dark, dark times. Please don't use my name. Fair enough.
How insulting that Mike and I shouldn't have an opinion on the second part.
Yeah.
I think it's let's gay bashing, Brian. I do. I think it's gay bashing that's dedicated only to you, that question.
I'm telling you, as a leader in my community, I think it is absolutely. People think that microaggressions don't add up into one big insult. And let me tell you, this world is moving backwards at a fast rate, specifically for my brothers and sisters. That's first of all. And I won't put up with homophobia from a married woman. But also, yeah.
Signed Mike's wife. He's a loud chewer that demands blowjobs all the time.
That is my rep. That's my rep on the street. Yeah.
Putting those qualities together all in one sentence is awful.
Sure. Mike, sure, I heard he's a loud chewer.
Yeah, he eats eggs while I blow him. So what do you I don't know how you solve the misophonia problem. Mike,
I think this is easy.
Oh, okay.
I think this is of all of the questions, this is the easiest one. This person has a partner who is an incredibly caring and thoughtful and sensitive person who is very other-directed and attuned to the happiness and the needs and desires of his partner. The idea of suffering anything in silence with this person is bananas to me. This is not a person who is full of rage and ire and is selfish and hates to engage in relationships. This is a layup. This is a thing where you sit down and you say, listen, I don't know if this person has done this already, but you say, I have this disorder. It's real. It's a medical disorder. It's called misophonia. And it's not your fault that this is the case. Obviously, this is something that is in my brain and my my chemical constitution, but it has this effect, and this which is that certain sounds just make me really upset or crazy. And it just so happens that the way you eat when we have these wonderful meals together that you cooked for me, it just so happens that that is a trigger for this condition. Like, and this is not, you're not making this up. This is a real thing that affects you. And this person seems so lovely and caring that I can't imagine that conversation will go badly. I feel like this, her partner or his partner, I don't know whether it's a man or a woman, but would say like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. What can I do? How can I help? Like the personality profile of this person's partner suggests 100% that a sincere and heartfelt and apologetic description of misophonia would be met with nothing but caring and attention. I don't know why you wouldn't bring this up. It's a real thing that's negatively affecting you. So bring it up and talk about it. And I'd bet dollars to donuts that this person's partner would go, I'm going to start learning how to chew differently post haste.
Well, I think that's a very nice idea and you should give it a shot, but they do say that they've talked to the person.
Now, I don't know if they talk to them like that, because what I think is key is putting it on yourself of like, I have this problem. It's absurd. I know it must sound crazy, but yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they put them on themselves.
I think there's a second part to this. I completely agree with what Mike said. I think you should do that. I think you should try it. And I think we should see what happens. 100%.
But
just as you said it, I would be very curious. I'm not a doctor, of course. I would be very curious how misophonia works.
I was going to ask, what is the true definition of it?
Sort of a link. If there is, well, I have a bit of misophonia. I mean, I don't want to hear anybody eat, and sure. I don't want to, but as with all things, like when people have tinnitus or something like that, you have to find a way in life it never could be perfect, but to tune things out. Because the problem is that the sense becomes either triggered or heightened for some reason. And so there is some work to do yourself on trying to figure out how, when people have sensory disorders, trying to figure out how to tamp down that noise a little bit, even if it can never be perfect. And I am just a little curious. And again, I'm not a doctor. But I'm a little, but as I said to Brian,
you were married to a doctor.
I was married to a doctor. But as I said to Brian before Mike came on, I'm wearing an eye palette called Mystic Eyes. And I do tend to be a little clairvoyant on occasion. Sure. I wonder if part of this is triggered during mealtime by the fact that you say you come from a disordered family to begin with. This guy makes you these beautiful meals. He takes care of you. He's incredibly thoughtful. He's everything that you wanted that you didn't have, but that also you're not entirely trained to understand. You don't come from that family of origin. And I wonder if there is a deep, 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 deep resentment or inadequacy that is triggered by his nurturing that brings up this misophonia and that forces you into a position where you then disassociate from what's happening in that moment. And so what I mean is you almost can't take in or handle what he's giving to you. And so that is the way that your body deals with it, is you shut off and you become repulsed by what he's doing. That's your safety valve. And I have no idea if that's even how this works. That would be something to discuss with your therapist. But there's something, it doesn't bother you when the garbage truck comes down the street. It doesn't bother you.
I dated a guy once.
You know.
The way he would gargle Listerine truly made me want to
Some things are disgusting.
Yeah.
But she says that he's eating like a normal person. I mean, if he has bad table manners, he's got bad table manners.
Well, maybe. Maybe. Well, first of all, I think that she could do like a Pavlovian thing where every time she hears him chew, she like pretends to faint or something or throws herself across the room and is like, I don't know what it is, but then realizes, oh, the reason I'm being violent toward myself is because of these sounds you're making. It just is an association. Isn't that so weird?
And just avoid the conversation with him altogether.
You could just say the conversation could be new and you could be like, it actually isn't misophonia. It's a sort of like a self-hurting thing that I do whenever I hear you eat.
When you eat, I throw myself into a wall.
Exactly. And it's something that can't be helped except, I mean, just throw your hands in the air and roll your eyes like you're on stage.
I love you and you're wonderful, but in order for us to stay together, you have to stop eating entirely.
Yeah, and just say, I am black and blue all over from hearing you eat. And it's my body's response. Did you ever see it? And then go on Dr. Phil and explain your situation so he believes it more. And then I think he'd get the point. Or you could wear earplugs. I know that sounds crazy, but you could.
No, that was going to be my pitch. My pitch was there might be a $200 solution to this, which is you get AirPods. Sure. I think they're like $200 and they're noise canceling. But you can still hear when you wear them, you can still hear people talking and it might just tamp down the chewing sounds to the point where they're tolerable. And then you can still sort of have a conversation.
And I would use that same piece of advice for the blowjobs. Put on a podcast.
Oh yes,
or something.
Pat 2. Let's get to Pat 2.
Put on a podcast or put on, you know, something soothing, yoga sounds.
That would be amazing. Yeah. That is an incredible. These are very practical solutions.
But what really is the question for Pat 2? Do I have to always give a blowjob every time? Is that what she's asking?
Yeah, but
is it too late to pull back on the BJs?
No.
This is the time. Yes, my understanding is that, you know, this is when you start. You've been together for 10 years. How long? It's certainly, I can't believe you made it this long. Congratulations.
I can't believe you didn't stop after 1 year.
They've been together for 8 years.
It seems like literally the most important thing you can do with your partner is openly communicate what your needs are in the sexual realm, right? It's like, if you don't do that, it is a recipe for disaster. You can also say,
start chewing better or the blowjobs are totally over.
There you go. But you got to stop thinking.
Connect the two things. Yeah.
Totally. And then maybe
the next time you're in the bedroom
and
he says, why, how come, what's going on? How come no blowjob? You say, What was going on with the eggs this morning?
I don't know. Slurpee, you tell me.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Though it's interesting that the sound of giving the blowjob doesn't bother them.
No, well, those are her sounds. Also, I have to
noise canceling headphones. That's it. Or that's actually answer. Communicate with the person you're in a relationship.
Because by the way, I think if you
or throw yourself into a wall.
And I think if you actually communicate,
like the Invisible Man, wasn't that terrific, that movie? Like,
yes.
Oh,
or
horrible.
Say that you know what? Just always say that you see someone in the house every time he chews. but once you openly communicate with your partner like that, I feel like you'll stop adding things to the pile of things you don't want to do with this person. Because once you talk to them, you'll see it's easy.
Yeah. Okay. But I also think you need to explore if there's some link there. At least do a little research into that.
You're saying like there's a lot of levels here. One, the highest level is therapy. You're basically saying therapy.
Therapy for all.
Talk about therapy. Yeah. Therapy for all. I'm with you.
Yeah.
And there's a practical AirPod solution here. There's a communication solution.
We've got an Amazon solution. We've got a bartering arrangement.
Yeah.
Where you say no BJ until you start learn how to swallow food whole without chewing it or go
like
straight
a,
smoothies
like a
only.
Exactly. Yeah,
start eating like a pelican.
Yeah.
Just one gulp.
A snake, you do one rat a month or whatever it is.
Yep, and you don't move.
And then the other option, throw yourself into a wall and play Invisible Man.
Right.
Yeah.
Or of course, say to your partner, I know we talked about this and you were very receptive, but it does feel like things have gone back to sort of this other thing. Yeah. And I know this is me. I know it is. I'm telling you it's me. I have this problem.
Right.
But if you could help me out, I can't tell you what it would mean to me.
Yeah.
Can we do the blind item? Do we have time for the blind item? Whatever that
is. Do you have time for the blind item?
Do you have time for the...
I got time, man.
Okay.
I'm all in.
Let's do the blind item.
Great.
Brian, do you have time for the blind item?
I do have time for the blind item.
Okay. Let me find it here.
I could do this all day, by the way. If you have 12 more of these, I'm in.
Well, we've got this, and then we've got a giveaway, Mike. So start thinking about
and we have a cliffhanger.
I'm just going to eat some soup while you look for it.
Slurp some soup.
Please do.
Okay, hold on one second. Hold on one quick second. It is so funny. All right. Dear Rana, Brian, and esteemed guest, I hope this letter finds you well and that you're socially distancing and washing your hands.
How dare they? I mean, what are we, monsters?
I mean, well, there is a presumption of immature, as and Mike did a spritz, a sanitizer spritz.
There you go. He did.
Is that actual hand sanitizer, Mike, or was that just whatever you had around? Oh, serene tree. Excuse me. I'm writing to seek advice on a rather delicate matter. I'm in the medical profession. Needless to say, my services have never been in greater demand, and I happen to be in a position of authority in my field. Despite my high rank, there is still one person directly above me, and herein lies the problem. My supervisor entrusted me with keeping our entire organization up to date with the latest information regarding the outbreak of COVID-19. I have been nothing but factual and forthcoming in all of my assessments. My supervisor is, to put it mildly, a bit oversensitive. Not only does he feel as though I'm overshadowing him with my expertise and wide exposure, but he also thinks my assessments, which admittedly have been bleak at times, are damaging his status and reputation. He tends to lash out at me passive-aggressively on social media, and more alarmingly, he will often hijack my time in meetings in order to advocate more unorthodox solutions to the crisis, which the makers of Clorox might appreciate, but I certainly do not. It's become clear that he wants me removed from my position, but it's also clear that I'm far more informed about the problem at hand than he is, which is why he'd face a firestorm of criticism should he decide to follow through with my firing. How can I handle an oversensitive, some might say narcissistic, boss who feels threatened by me without jeopardizing my position and career? I don't fear being let go. In fact, People Magazine has indicated it's interested in awarding me the title of Sexiest Man Alive, which is ironic if you remember our little inside joke, Rana. But I'd really prefer to stay put and help as many people as I can during this time. Yours gratefully, The Doctor. Blind item.
Blind item. Who could have sent this?
Very blind. It's one of the blindest items I've ever heard.
Rana, what's the inside joke?
Well, you know, I used to call, okay. So I ran into this guy a few times in Manhattan who, if it's who I think it is.
Sure.
If it's who I think it is. And he's like a little pocket rocket. I mean, you've seen him. You know, he's 79 years old.
Is he really? What?
79 years old. How old did you think?
If it's who you think
if
it is.
If it's who I think it is.
That's keep it blind.
We can't give this person away.
We don't divulge people's identities. But no. if it's who we think it is, he's 79 years old. Mm. I mean, how old did you think he was?
74.
Oh, really? Oh, I think he's incredible. He's built
he
like
does
a little
look
wrestler.
Great. He does look great, yes.
So I was at a cocktail party once, and he's, I mean, this is just so him, of course, but I was in a conversation, a little circle in a conversation, three or four people. And he's one of those people who's on the outside of the circle who keeps trying to butt in. So
oh, sure.
I was telling some kind of a hysterical story and he sort of kept peeking his head over. He's not very tall, peeking his head over and saying, oh, that's, I've been to that restaurant.
Oh,
that's,
no.
And then what did he say? And I said, excuse me, Harry Houdini. Who's talking to you? And he, of course, couldn't get enough of that.
Oh my
so
God.
He said, well, I just wanted to tell you, it's none of my concern, but I just wanted to tell you, I noticed you had sort of a dark spot over your lip and that you might want to get it checked out. You might want to make sure it's not a melanoma, which I think they
Pretty
used to call that.
Advice.
I think they used to call that negging when you were hitting on someone.
Oh, you think he was like a pickup artist?
Absolutely. And I said, excuse me, Anthony, it's called a beauty mark.
Whoa.
Now, either refresh my drink or don't waste my time. And the thing about Anthony Fauci.
And Bob said another.
The thing about Anthony Fauci is he's so busy that you don't really have to worry about
Rana.
Him.
Anyway.
I think his beeper went off at that point anyway.
So this unnamed gentleman.
Completely.
He was sort of trying to pull that thing where he was like,
yeah.
You might want to get that checked out. I have a lot of connections in the medical community.
You know, I'm a doctor.
I can get you to the front of that kind of thing.
You know, I'm a doctor. Yeah. You know, if you wanted to go see somebody in Mount Sinai tomorrow, I could probably get you in. I said, right. Excuse me. My husband's a doctor. MGH, pardon me. Mass General Hospital.
Sure.
And if I had a melanoma over my lip, Anthony, I'm certain I would. I think it's chicken liver. But thank you for pointing it out.
Sure. Very but sexy conversation.
Yeah, but he doesn't stop, though. Oh, he's a little awkward, but he's very charming, very winning.
He is all those things.
What's he supposed to do, Mike?
I mean, this is a tough one, right? Because
he's been navigating this beautifully, I have to say.
He has been, if it's the person that we assume it is.
If it's who we think it is, yeah. It could easily be George Conway.
This is a weird ethical dilemma for people like him, because his job is to help the most people he can possibly help, right?
Yes.
That's his mission. He's, you know, the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm. This is that times a billion, because in his position, he can help millions and millions of people avoid a terrible outcome. And yet he is constantly being sort of berated from all sides by people who either don't want him to succeed out of pure narcissism or are putting political pressure on him. So he's having, and other people like him are having to navigate this real choppy water here of like, how much personal integrity do I need to maintain in order to execute my function? I don't envy them, people in that position, because it's a very, very tricky needle to thread. I think he's threading it beautifully. And I think that in this case, even though it's not advice you would normally give, I think you need to say, you know, you have to suffer fools sometimes it's a trade-off you have to make in order to find this greater good. And the greater good is there aren't that many people who are giving out real actual medical scientific information that's penetrating the white noise of the culture and of the political scene. So I hate to say it, but I think my advice would be like, just grit your teeth and try in the margins wherever you can to keep doing what you're doing.
He is Atlas. Trump is Ayn Rand. And we're begging him not to shrug. That's what's happening.
I think, I mean,
much more concise way of putting what I just put in.
You
45
put it
minutes.
Perfectly.
And I think truly, I mean, watching him, just watching what he does. First of all, I don't know where he gets the energy for what's coming at him on a daily basis, and also what he needs to deliver on a daily basis. And even in those Senate hearings, he is a fascinating. Altruism is a tricky word. Is there any such thing as true altruism? Because obviously it must serve something in us in order to behave that way. But he is on this incredible collision course. As this is a guy who has been in this job, I want to say, for 30 years. He's been offered every other job that you could have. He could go up and up and up. And he says, this is where I can do the most good. And this is where I want to stay. Which is why he is the person we are turning to in this moment. And he has done such an incredible job of every time somebody tries to either pull him into a scrape or twist his words, he always goes back to, my job is the science and my job is to share the science.
Yeah, he like lives above ego or something. He just is like, well, it's not about me, so let's keep going. Like, it's really
an incredible study in, I don't know if you call it Zen, but certainly he obviously a very long time ago made peace with the idea of being egoless, mm-hmm. and also having a prime directive and also having a sort of goal or an end game. And that is the only thing he thinks about all of the time. I truly believe that. I mean, I'm sure there are days where he wakes up and he says, do I feel like getting 10 more death threats? Of course not.
Yeah.
But in a way, I almost think he has found this sort of, I don't even know, samurai-like way of everything flows right past him. And
you know, the thing
just
that
stays
we all
directed.
Do, well, we all do this thing on Twitter every day, or most of us do, or at least I'll speak for myself, I do, which is somebody says something incredibly stupid and harmful, and that's a lie, and then we go, and we just fire back at them. And he has mastered the ability to resist that urge, which is such a powerful urge in an age of of incredible misinformation and very venal and corrosive lying in our culture, it's so hard not to just say, you're lying. This is a lie. You're causing harm to people. But to float, like Brian said, like float above it somehow. Like he just floats above it and he lets it go because he knows that if he can get on another TV show and that's seen by another million people, another, or testify or do whatever, that like that he might be saving 40,000 lives or something. He's a true believer, and the thing that he believes in is public health. And that's the kind of most noble person you could possibly find.
Yeah.
And I thank our lucky stars that we have one of those people.
It's unbelievable that he's still around. I mean, he feels it at a time in the last couple of years where every institution has broken down, and even the very, and it's so sad to watch, but even the very idea of civility in the Senate or dialogue or any, I mean, the idea of what it means to be a U.S. Senate, I mean, the House has always been crazy. So you're always going to get a wacko here and a wacko there, but the Senate, at least it seemed to be for more or less a sort of gentleman's club where people said, we're going to sit down and talk about it. We're going to figure out what you need, what I need, but really what's best. And we're going to find our way through this. And all of that is gone. Every institution has been chipped away at. And it's sort of this incredible thing that this, I mean, he feels like he was sent here in a time machine from the 80s or something, that he is still a person who really believes in his mission. And I don't doubt that he thinks it's valuable that other people are fighting those fights, you know, this pundit or that journalist or I have to say, Mike, your Twitter is beyond, I mean, I'm sure that you have your own internal dialogue about when you engage and when you don't engage. But I do think the punchback is important coming from certain places and positions of strength and articulate, you know, ness, et cetera. Is that a word, articulateness? But in any event, so I think he probably is happy to have those warriors fighting that fight, but that is not his fight. That is not what he does. And it is kind of this incredibly graceful and beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's inspiring.
Yeah.
Honestly. And when you say that he came here in a time machine from the 80s, he kind of did. I mean,
nothing's better than his accent.
Totally. Yeah,
his accent's
so
the best.
But he's been in that office since the 80s. There's no question. Whatever office he's transmitting from, he's been in there since the 80s.
It's also, isn't it interesting right now that like the three people that I listen to the most on TV, which are Trump, Cuomo and Fauci, all have essentially the same exact accent.
So true.
Isn't that bizarre? It's all that queen, that
and
Queens,
that dying
New York
accent. You don't see that a lot anymore. Yeah.
I know, it's incredible.
Well, it's because most people spend like decades and thousands of dollars to drum it out of their bodies.
Yeah. It's so authentic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer is the other.
They just love to add an R to any vowel. Ronner. They love it.
Ronner. That's exactly right. Okay, my last question is for Mike. I want to know, when is Senator Mike Schur? When's that happen? Are you ever going to get into politics?
Will you ever get into politics?
When am I running for U.S. Senate?
Do you ever think about getting into politics?
It's not
the Al Franken route and just saying, I've written enough jokes, now I'm just going to go do this.
If I did, I would want to probably divert that route at a certain moment, a key moment, to not do the full Al Franken route.
Well, you don't
see it out to the end.
Skip the USO tour is my advice to you.
I announced like 2 years ago on Twitter that someday I was going to run for president. Here's my platform. You want to hear my platform?
Can't wait.
Yeah.
It's really brief. Number one, I'll never play golf because I don't like golf and I don't know how to play. You have my solemn guarantee. I will never play golf. Not once.
I appreciate that. Honestly.
Thank you. Number two, I won't be an asshole. And that's it. That's my platform.
That's a good
and
platform.
I honestly think I could win if I ran on that platform. I'll literally never play golf. And I promise I will never be an asshole.
Can I give you one tip when you run?
Hit me.
Don't use a word like venal because half the population won't understand it. And I am part of that population. So I'm telling you as a voter, I don't need anyone pretending they're smarter than I am.
Okay. Gotcha. Copy that.
Pretending. You mean you don't need anybody displaying.
Well, proving.
Yeah. One more. And don't bring up the habit bartending school when you're talking about being relating to the working class.
I can't even say that I met Barney Frank at a fundraiser in 1995.
Of course you can. Only if you mention how gorgeous my living room is in the second breath. Yeah.
Remember when Bill Clinton was a kid and he met JFK? That could be my like Bill Clinton JFK moment.
The Bonnie Frank.
Yeah.
No question.
It sure could.
Bonnie Frank. I miss Bonnie Frank.
Oh God, he was great.
He was a blast. Yeah, he was terrific. Okay, let's do our giveaway.
Let's do it.
So every week we do a giveaway where we give to the person that we just have a feeling for, Brian. Wouldn't you say it's an instinct?
Yes, it's the it's whoever we sort of go back through everyone who wrote in and we say, you deserve a prize this week. And we kind of all decide on who that should be. But Rana, before we do that, do you want to say what the prize is?
Sure. And it's always just a little something that makes people feel, you know, they weren't going to buy it for themselves and it just gives them a little lift.
Exactly.
Some Massachusetts saltwater taffy, something like that. Delicious. Like a little box of saltwater taffy.
I'm not a saltwater taffy lover, personally.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely not. I'm more I'm fudge. I'm not saltwater taffy.
You live in Marblehead, Massachusetts.
One flavor of saltwater taffy. I like the tangy one, but the rest of it I'm not interested in. And it gets stuck in your teeth.
That's half the fun. Because you can keep tasting it. Okay.
Saltwater taffy, no. But in today's case, we're giving away a beautiful little box of Klaus Porto hand soaps. Now, Brian can speak to these personally because he also received one in the carriage house.
I did. Should I go get them and show you?
If you have them sitting nearby.
They're nearby.
But they almost look like a little box of macaron. So it's just colorful little soaps. And Klaus Porto is a Portuguese/German soap maker that's about 130 years old. Wow. And it's just a pretty little thing. Everyone's washing their hands now. So you walk
That's the thing, a very practical gift for these.
Walk into the bathroom.
Like it would be a chocolate of some sort or a gorgeous macaron or something.
And actually, I would no question eat those.
Completely. Me too. And then they come in this beautiful white box. And then look how they're packaged. Okay. I mean, you would eat these.
Those are rainbow cookies.
Eat all of them. And I can't tell you how delicious.
Sleeve of soaps.
They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
So there it is. So, okay, Brian, who are our options today?
There's no nutrition facts on this, Rana. It's all just the different scents. Okay, so this
is... And it's based on some sort of original Art Deco design, apparently. It's like a reissue of those soaps. Yeah.
Okay, so...
They came from Liberty of London.
Are these going to... Yeah. These gorgeous soaps going to the 27-year-old who's dating the 37-year-old and fucked over her friend? Are they going to the person who was violated of 18 bottles of wine?
Yeah.
Are they going to Misophonia BJ?
Mm-hmm.
It's those three, right? Because we don't have Fauci's address.
No. Well, we could just send it to the National Institute of Health, but he probably has enough soap.
Exactly.
Yeah. He washes his hands 50 times a day, he said. So I think he's covered soap-wise. Yeah.
He's good. Okay, so yeah, what do you think? 27-year-old, 37-year-old, misophonia, or 18 bottles of wine?
I think nothing would take the edge off of the heartbreak of losing one's wine collection more than a delightful box of colorful soaps.
They are beautiful.
I feel it, and it won't make up for it, but entirely. But it might take the sting out of it. It might you might be able to stare at those soaps on your sink and get a little bit of the same kind of happiness you used to get when you stared at your beautiful wine collection. So I would vote for that person.
I'm with Mike on that. I think that's
completely agree. I think that's lovely.
Something beautiful to look at in your home. Why not?
Now, now, Mike, we do one more thing here and you can stay for it or not stay for it if you want to, if you're exhausted.
I got nowhere to be. We're in quarantine.
Okay.
True.
We now read a cliffhanger.
Okay.
Where we read the question here. And then we answer it. We do a Patreon show, which is very exclusive in the carriage.
Very exclusive.
It's a bonus episode where people can pay $5 a month to get what they get one episode every Friday. Or if they pay $10, they get a video episode.
And I have to tell you, Mike, we are having so much fun doing it.
Are we having fun in the carriage house?
It is so much fun over
we
there.
We do a film festival. International Film Festival.
Ah.
Last week we watched Psycho and Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice.
We did.
Great.
I don't know how we didn't mention it, Brian. The psychiatrist from Bob and Ted and Carol and Alice was also the dog psychiatrist in Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Are you kidding?
No, he was a real Hollywood or Beverly Hills Freudian shrink, and he plays the dog psychologist in downtown Beverly Hills. So he was Paul Mazursky's shrink.
Psychiatrist. Yeah, I did know that.
So funny. And so anyway, we read our cliffhanger here,
yes,
and then people can get the answer on Patreon. But before we do that, where can people find you? Ken Tremendous on Twitter.
That's my Twitter handle. I don't recommend it if you don't like periodic eruptive bouts of screaming and yelling about what's going on in the world. But it's at Ken Tremendous. And then, you know, if TV ever gets made again, I'll make some TV shows.
And also, congratulations on the Parks and Rec fundraiser. That
did we not say this?
Thank you. Millions of dollars you raised.
What's the tally now?
I haven't gotten an official tally in about 10 days, but as of 10 days ago, it was $4.3 million.
Incredible. All going to Feeding America, right?
Going to Feeding America. In fact, I don't know when this is going to be up on your podcasting website, but you can still donate. It's feedingamerica.org/parksandrec.
Awesome.
A-N-D-R-E-C.
And you can watch the special on YouTube.
YouTube, Hulu, NBC.com. There's a billion places to watch it. It was really very hard to make and was only possible because of the volunteered essentially work of about 100 people. But we had great fun doing it, and it raised, hopefully we'll get to $5 million.
That's unbelievable. That's
well,
yeah,
we donated over $2,000 to Meals on Wheels, Mike. So you know, you're not the only person who's raising money during the quarantine. There's so many wonderful charitable things going on, but that one really cut through all the noise.
It
was really something to see.
Well, I think people are happy to see Amy Poehler and Chris Pratt and, oh, that's my phone.
I was like, what's happening?
There's a UFO landing.
That's what it sounded like.
I think people were just really happy to see Chris Pratt and Amy Poehler and Rashida Jones and everybody back together again for half an hour. It was like,
unbelievable.
When we were making it, we were like, we're going to try to make a warm chocolate chip cookie. That's our goal. We're going to try to make one big warm chocolate chip cookie and give it out to everyone who wants it.
Oh, I think that's the best way to put it, because that has been the ultimate dessert during quarantine. They come out of the oven hot, they smell good, and only you have to put your hands on them.
You know what really makes me mad? You know what really makes me upset?
I served you a chocolate cookie when you came over.
Well, I hope you have about 10 more for lunch, because I'm starving and that's all I want now, just so you know.
I had Brian over for a quarantine cocktail. I had blood orange margaritas and a bottle of Dom Perignon and hot chocolate chip cookies out of the oven, and he didn't even touch them.
I didn't.
No. Okay, read the cliffhanger, dear.
Oh, okay. Oh, God.
I read the last one, didn't I?
You did. Okay, let me find it. Dear Ron and Brian, I've recently been dating a guy for a little over a month now. The first time we met, we instantly clicked. We have very similar life experiences, the same sense of humor, like the same things, and both have very similar ways of thinking. I have never dated someone with whom I have as much in common with. He's really sweet and always does little romantic things for me.
I have as much in common with?
Yeah, that's
is that what that says?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I've never had as much in common with.
Yeah. With whom I have as much in common with.
Right. Is that what I said?
That's what they said,
that's what
not
they
you.
Said. Yes, sure.
Yeah, go on.
He's really sweet and always does little romantic. Okay, I've really started to like him, and things have been absolutely wonderful until recently. Mm-mm. I have misophonia. Just kidding. Okay. We are both on the prep.
He says he has misophonia, and I say I want a blowjob.
Correct.
Now what?
We are both on prep. Everyone knows what that is now, right?
Do you know what prep is, Mike?
Have you heard of prep?
I don't think so.
So it's like birth control, but for gay people, you take one every day and it inhibits HIV. So
But can women take
and
it?
Women,
also?
Of course, yes.
Anyone can
it's
take it.
Most popular it's, used by gay men, but yes, anyone can.
It's actually the exact thing we're hoping for before the vaccine, and we'll hopefully get to.
It's like an
vaccine.
Inhibitor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We are both on PrEP and have been hooking up for the past month. Last week, I started noticing some symptoms and went to my doctor. The doctor informed me I had an STI and gave me antibiotics. Since I have not hooked up with anyone else than him since we started dating. Okay, so he is the only person who could have given it to me. Oh, I see. I know I am partially to blame here because I should have insisted on using protection. I told him about the infection so he could get it treated. So this is what PrEP has also done, is just people aren't using condoms as much because the things you get now don't, you know, affect your life really as much as HIV. I told him about the infection so he could get treated. I asked him if he has had sex with someone other than me. He said he had sex with someone around a week and a half ago. He apologized to me about the situation and went to an urgent care that night and got on antibiotics. We never explicitly said that we were not having sex with other people. However, given how serious things were getting in the relationship and the fact that we're in a pandemic, I thought it was implicit. He never mentioned anything at all about seeing other people or sleeping with other people. And when I asked directly, I could tell he was hesitant to tell me about it. His hesitation did not seem to be defensive in nature, but seemed to be more due to embarrassment and not wanting to jeopardize our relationship. My question is, do you think that this is something to end things between us, or should we continue things but discuss more explicitly our expectations? I know STIs happen, and I think he handled the situation the right way by apologizing, getting treated immediately, and telling me the truth. However, it also seems like it's a red flag. We've only been dating a little over a month, so I don't know if that makes things better or worse in the situation. Should I just see how he handles things from here, or should I just end things the right way? Thank you so much. I'd prefer if you didn't use my real name if you decide to answer the question. Well, we're answering it on Patreon, so you can go there, patreon.com/AskRana.
Can I just say that it's crazy that Anthony Fauci sent in two different questions? Not,
I have to say, it's not right. And you know what? Here we were holding him up as this model of inspiration and perfection. Meanwhile, he's hooking up with people during the pandemic?
I mean, it's so irresponsible.
Well, I dodged a bullet. I wonder if he used the melanoma line on this guy, too.
Who could that not work to get into bed with someone? I mean, what a pickup line.
Well, in my crowd, the melanoma line's pretty popular, I'll tell you that.
Mike, thank you endlessly for doing this with us today.
This was my extreme pleasure.
Such a pleasure. And I want to know, can you still mix a good Tom Collins?
You know, I'm a little out of practice, but let me know if you're having any more events at the house. I'll come out to Marblehead. I'll put on the old vest and I'll whip something up for you.
You must still have your Boston bartending book there. The old Boston bartender's
guide. Sure, it's in a box somewhere in the basement. I'm sure I can dig it out.
This was such a pleasure. Thank you so much. And kiss, kiss. Keep being a provocateur. Yes. We need that. Yeah, that's what we need from you right now. And we look forward to voting for you for Senator Mike Shaw.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Kiss, kiss.